Island Church in Galveston, Texas welcomes you to our podcast. We trust that you will be encouraged by today's message.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Isn't the Lord good? How many know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you're not here because you're so smart? Huh? How'd you get here? Oh, I'm so spiritual. Listen to me. God's so good. Can we just stop, lift our hands? Lord, we thank you that we're here because of grace and because of mercy. And we need to acknowledge that it's not because we're so gifted or we're so lucky or we're so smart or we're so anything. You are so good. You are so good. I could have died. Thank you, Lord. Amen. What a blessing to be here. And I love your pastors. I love them so much. And I love Pastor Russ. He, to me, he's like a phenom. You know, he's mentally he's a phenom, first of all. Then he's spiritually he's a phenom. And, you know, if I would sit around and think about it, I'd get real intimidated about getting up here and preaching. You know, because I know what you get all the time. But I learned a long time ago, one of my favorite lines is in Braveheart. They get dressed up, go to a war, and he ends up in a tent with a French woman. And the soldiers ask him, "What do you want us to do?" And William turns to him and says, "Just be yourselves." So I learned a long time ago, you can't be anointed trying to be somebody else. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Not me acting like my favorite preacher or acting like, just be the person you are and trust God. Let me just say this. Deb and I, we just got through with our best year of our life. It's the best year of our life. It's the best year of our ministry. 2 years ago, we stepped down from 19 years of being in Tanzania. And, you know, it was an incredible, incredible time. But this is what it felt like. It felt like for 19 years we were doing this, and in 2 months we went, We were just on one level, and in 2 months we went to a completely different level. And we have there's not a way to describe. The Lord expected more out of us, and what he expected, we couldn't see how we could do. We're going to go to these nations and hold leadership clinics, and each one of them costs $10,000 minimum. One of them this last year went $8,000 over budget, $18,000. We're pouring out. You know what happened? The supernatural supply to do what he said do came. You say, "How did it come?" I can't tell you. I can't put it on paper how we're doing what we're doing. It is crazy, y'all. It's crazy. God's will, God's bill. God's will, God's bill. Not one U.S. soldier has paid for one boot lace in his boot in Afghanistan or Iraq. Not one soldier has paid for one bullet. We got a word from the Lord. And we got a word from God that says no man goes to war at his own expense. Yeah. And we've been standing on it now for over 20 years. And let me tell you, it is working. It is working. One word from God. Peter, do you understand? Peter walked on the water. You say, did he really walk on the water? No, are you crazy? You can't walk on the water. He walked on a word that was on the water. He walked on one word from God, come. And every place he put his foot, that word come was under that footprint. And that's how he walked on water. And that's how we've been walking on water all these years. We got a word. God's got a word for your life. Amen. Hallelujah. So It makes me tired thinking about it. Last year, we were in seven nations. And we said to ourselves, we have got to cut back. So we prayed and we prayed and we did our schedule. And this year, we're in eight nations. Eight nations. And some of them, you know, let me just say, tell you, you're never going to see on CNN or Fox or anything what God's doing. He is alive and working in the world. Glory to God. Can I tell you just a couple of testimonies? I got to rub shoulders with some of the greatest people. Northern Thailand. This guy is about this tall. He looks so unassuming. You would never know what kind of person he is. He's the first guy in his region in northern Thailand that was saved. Now, the village was nice. They said to themselves, we would like to stop him, but we don't really feel like killing him, so we'll just burn his house down. And then we'll send him to this other village that has not one, because all villages have one witch doctor. We'll send him to this other village where we know there's two witch doctors, and we know they'll kill him, and then we'll feel better because he'll be dead and we didn't do it. So they did that. They burned him, his house down, and forced him to this other place, and he just got the witch doctor saved and filled the Holy Ghost. There's over 2,000 Christians in that region because one man. Come on, y'all. One of my former students in Tanzania, he asked me in 2003, he said, Pastor, what do you see? His name is Onesmo Molel. Molel is a strong Maasai name. If you own Molel, you're a big cheese. And so he said, Pastor, what do you see? I said, come back tomorrow, I'll tell you. So he came back, this is right before graduation. I said, Onesmo, I see you going to the places, to the very seat of Satan. And I see you starting churches right where Islam and witchcraft meet. He looked at me and said, Sawa, which in Swahili means okay. Stop just a minute. Everybody just stop. Do you know how pleasant it is for me as a minister to tell somebody to do something and they just do it? Do you have any idea how much pleasure that brings me? That's what he's been doing all those years. So he went to the toughest places, so it took him a little bit longer. He started six churches in all those years. The last church he was at, I went to see him. A Muslim helped him build the church because the Muslim said, we can't tell anybody. We got to keep this secret because if we tell folks, they'll kill you and then me. So let's just keep this quiet. But I've learned over the years in other communities, I see churches and I see how they affect the people, and we need churches. A Muslim mayor in that district said we need churches, right? Now, Christian pastors have not been able to start churches in this region because this region is the seat of Satan. This is a heart, this is a place where witchcraft and Islam meet. And here's the deal about a hybrid. It doesn't matter if some of you, if you know South America or Mexico, you know, if Catholicism gets involved with witchcraft, that's a mean devil. You get a hybrid, it's mean. Why? They'll do anything in the name of their religion using witchcraft. So these pastors that tried to start a church in this region would be awakened in the night by a stripe down their back. They would get whipped in the night. They would turn on the light and there's nobody there. Well, you get two or three stripes in one night, and 6 o'clock in the morning, you're loading your wagon. So I asked Onesmo, I said, well, how did you build a church? He looked at me and said, well, I told the devil, you can whip me if you want to, but I'm not leaving. I said, now see, that's powerful, isn't it? A lot of Christians say, I'm just believing I'll never get whipped. He's now go ahead. You wear yourself, knock yourself out. You can whip me if you want to. I'm not leaving. I said, is he whipped you? He goes, not one time. Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. So we're going into new places. We're going to southern India. We're going to Liberia. We're going to Bulgaria again. We're going to Romania. Praise the Lord. I can't even keep up with it. If you really want to know, just call my wife and ask her. But the thing that we're convinced of is the really, truly, the only way to truly change a nation is you must change the leadership of that nation. If you don't, now, and I'm talking about the Christian leadership, like in Burundi. We're in Burundi, and we had we're supposed to have 150 leaders show up. We had like 230 show up, right? Now, the problem in Burundi is this guy's grandfather is responsible for killing this guy's grandfather. A lot of people don't know that the genocide that Rwanda was famous for broke out in Burundi first. And the strife and the pain is so deep, even as a minister, I cannot get up and talk about Hutu and Tutsi. I can't say those words. So we finally got all these people together, and it can be a tense environment if you don't know what you're doing. And the minister asked me, Pastor Paul, what do you want to do? I said, well, by the end of this week, I want to have communion. When I said that, he just looked like all the air went out of him. He said, brother, I don't know that that's going to be possible. We're on tender hooks here. I said, look, just give me 3 weeks with them. Because I'm going to tell you, what God has anointed me to do is, if you have any Pharisee in you, I will find it and I will kill it in the name of Jesus. So out of all those ministers, we only had one guy at the end who stood up and said, I can't be a part of this. I said, good, go, get out the building. Because we're going to have revival here. We took communion and the glory of God fell into place. Years and years of death and blood and murder washed out by the blood of Jesus. Come on, somebody, praise the Lord. You can change a nation if you can touch a leader. That's what our ministry is about. That's what we do. That's what we're going to do until Jesus dies. Come on. Praise the Lord. I'm committed to developing a strong daily devotion with God. This message came out of just a devotion where I've read Scripture over and over and over, and somehow I missed this Scripture. Turn with me to John 7. I want to talk to you about how to think. This is going to be odd, maybe an odd message for you. How to think about the perfect will of God. How to think. In John 7, like I say, I read the New Testament, but in my daily devotion, I caught this, and I'd never caught it before. John 7:17. If anyone wills to do his will, if anyone wills to do his will, he will know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. Listen, folks, that's a promise that we in 2024 need to stake our claim on. Because you can just put me on record as prophesying that 2024 may be the most bizarre year you have ever lived. All right, in 2020, you just thought most of the world went crazy. Let me tell you what's going to happen in 2024. Those that didn't go crazy in 2020 are going to take the leap in 2024. I'm hearing the Holy Spirit say it's going to be completely bizarre. You need to brace yourself. This is a promise from Scripture that if you willed to know the perfect will of God, if you will to know His will, He's going to keep you from deception. Come on, y'all. He's going to keep you from deception. But listen, it's not going to happen automatically. You have to will to know His will. You have to will to do His will. Can you say amen? Because how you think about the will of God, a lot of times people say things and it sounds spiritual. It's just not true. God's in control of my destiny. I don't know. Is He in control of your thoughts? Your thoughts are your destiny. Your thoughts have your destiny in them. What you're meditating on every day is setting the course of your future. Now, if God is in control of those thoughts, you can say, God is in control of my future. But if He's not in control of your thoughts, His will is not going to happen in your life automatically. Brother Hagin was preaching one time about how this man, you know, he was preaching on the fact that we as people can limit God. You know, that God can be limited by us. And this guy in the back got super offended and stood up, and which is funny to hear. It's like Peter rebuking Jesus. He started screaming at Brother Hagin and rebuking Brother Hagin. That ain't true. That's not true. My God can do anything. He can do anything. And it just went on and on. Finally, Brother Hagin said, hey, shut up. He said, if God could do anything, He'd make you pay your tithes. The guy shut up and sat down. Oh, my God in heaven. Throw a rock into a pack of dogs, and one that gets hit goes, yeep. Listen, you can get confused. Naaman the Syrian, who had leprosy, thought he knew how the prophet would heal him. Huh? It says in Acts 7, 24 and 25, Moses thought Ishmael would be his heir. And when God told Moses, I'm going to use you to deliver the people of Egypt, he jumped out and killed a guy, supposing that the Israelites understood that God was going to use him. He thought they knew. Stop and think about it. The disciples, after the resurrection, are still thinking, wait a minute, this sounds oddly familiar. They're thinking that God is going to bring a political solution to vindicate all of us. Sounds vaguely familiar. David thought he was going to build the temple. Paul thought he was going to have a ministry to the Jews. You can think all kind of kooky stuff about the will of God. And it matters how you think about the will of God. Let me give you a few things that have really helped me. Because part of this came out of this, and part of this came out of my daily devotion, and part of it came out of a story when I was pastoring. I have a real warped sense of memory. I don't know half the time where my keys are or my wallet is. You know, I just don't. I lose stuff. But oddly enough, if you and I have a conversation 20 years later, I can tell you what we talked about. It just sticks in my head. So when I first took over the church there at Magnolia Christian Center, I had a guy come in, a loved God with all his heart, farmer, came into my office, broke down, started crying. This big, strapping, strong dude came in, started crying. I said, what is it? He said, Pastor, I got this thing down inside. He said, I know God's called me to something. He said, I know He has. I just can't seem to get to it. I can't seem to find it. So I tried to talk to him about some basic Christian things. I just tried. And he kind of batted his eyes and looked at me and said, yeah, I know all that. Right? What he didn't remember, which I did with perfect clarity, 10 years later he came in, and we had the exact same conversation. He cried the same crocodile tears. He told me how irritated his spiritual life was because he knew he had this thing down in here. And why won't God just show me? Why won't God just show me? Well, I have an answer for that. And the reason is simple. God is relational. This is not a corporation. This is not you coming in and getting orders from a boss. He wants everything to come out of your relationship with Him. Otherwise, you put your work before your walk. And that's how people burn out spiritually. They don't set before they serve. They're busy serving and they hadn't set. And you get all persnickety, like Martha, with other people and what they're doing or not doing, when you have not set before you serve. God is relational. When He tells you what He tells you, unless you get it out of your relationship with Him, there's a measure of grace that does not come unless it comes by relationship. In other words, God just telling you what to do doesn't mean you have the grace to pull it off. There's a certain amount, think of it like this. The purpose of redemption is relationship, and the purpose of relationship is fellowship. The purpose of redemption is relationship, and the purpose of relationship is fellowship. So there's an exchange of more than just information when God tells you what He wants you to do. Moses got the what he was supposed to do, but he didn't get the how, and he didn't get the when. Listen to me. 6 years before I left my last post in Tanzania, God was speaking through by His Spirit to Debbie and I, and He's saying to us, you're going to transition soon. I've got something else for you to do. Guess what? God soon was 6 years. I promise you, I was more ready for the soon to get there than He was ready for me to come on now. I was ready to jump out and kill any Egyptian I could find to prove that I was ready. And God said, He gave me a great word. The word was, you've been faithful and I'm going to give you something that's your own. And I'm going to give it to you real soon. And you're going to do what you've done in Tanzania. You're going to do it all over the world. And it's going to come soon. 6 years. I got a clear word from God. But in fellowship, I found the timing. Timing is everything. So when you think about the will of God, don't think orders and instructions. Think relationship. There's a transfer that happens. Can you say amen? Amen. Disciples saw Jesus work miracles. They want to know the secret. How do you do this? Oh, I think it might be prayer. Okay, that's great. Teach us to pray. All right, let me teach you to pray. Start off like this. Our Father. This is not prayer gymnastics. This is not prayer calisthenics. This is relationship. I want you to think about God like your Father. All those years, those students, you know, they find out that the Lord blessed me and I pastored a great church and they want to know, tell me the secret, tell me the secret, tell me, give me the secret plan to grow in a church. I want to grow. It's almost like a lust, you know, lust to have the big ministry and big church. And I talk to them. I say, you know, what you need to do, this is what you need to do. And they get their notebook and they're all sitting on the edge of your seat. And I say, this is what you really need to do. Write this down. Love God. And they're like, yeah, we know that. What's next? No, wait a minute. Love God. Okay, we got that. Love people. All right, but how do you grow a big church? I'll slap you upside your head. How do you get the perfect will of God? I can tell you, fall in love. He's not hiding His will. But there are things slathered around His will that you'll never get unless you're in relationship with Him. Can you say amen? Amen. Let me give you something else. Number two, think supernatural, not spectacular. You know that guy I was telling you about? I talked to him a little bit about faithfulness to church. He never got it. He's in and out. He'd get faithful. He's streaky. You know, he'd come 6 months, never miss a service, then I wouldn't see him for a year. Just streaky. But, you know, he's, I got me and Jesus, we, you know. A few years ago, I was going down the road. I heard this country song. I was cruising, trying to find something good to listen to. Heard this guy saying, me and Jesus got our own thing going. I thought, hey, this guy's singing about Jesus. Listen to it. He, you know, he liked to drink in his pickup truck. And he liked to pick up the women's. But Jesus understood. Because we got our own thing going. Is that right? Yeah. Jesus up in your big Ford 150 with your Copenhagen dripping out your lip. Because you so drunk and you and Jesus. Come on. You. Me and my skin tight jean. We got our own. Oh, shut up. People all the time trying to claim spirituality apart from the body of Christ. You're nuts. Amen? Amen. Think supernatural. Supernatural is like faithfulness. Faithfulness. How many believe for some people it would be supernatural if you could just get consistent? Reading your Bible. I know that got some laughs. So y'all listen. I wasn't going from the low-hanging fruit. I wasn't. But it's there. Come on, y'all. It's there. You can't even open your Bible on a regular basis. Here's what I know about thinking about the perfect will of God. You never get X, Y, Z unless you get A, B, C. He's not going to give you X, Y, Z because you won't consistently do A, B, C. He can't trust you with X, Y, Z. Come on. Your prayer life, your devotional life. How about this? Your work ethic. I had a guy in church. He came to me years ago. He's all emotional. But God gave me a vision for a landscaping business. And this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to hire all Christians. And they're going to pay their tithes. And it's just going to be like a kingdom and thing. And he's looking at me. And I'm not getting excited. I said, Bruce, you're going to lose your shirt. He said, what? I said, you are going to lose your shirt. Brother, God gave me this. I said, I'm not saying God didn't give you it. I said, but I guarantee you didn't give you everything. Because you that part about you hiring nobody but Christians, I said, this is what's going to happen. They're going to show up late. They're going to leave early. They're not going to work hard, and they're going to ask for advancements. He came to me 3 months later and said, I am almost bankrupt. Wow. I said, what happened? He said, well, I went out and hired Christians, and they showed up late, and they left early, and they didn't work hard, and they asked for advancements. I said, what are you going to do? He said, I'm hiring sinners. Listen, I know we laugh, but this is sad, sad, sad. Because a guy, you know, he's addicted. He's going to show up on Monday morning because he wants that check on Friday. So you got a guy that'll do for cocaine what you won't do for Jesus. Don't get me on Christians who have a poor work ethic. Kick your lazy. Please help me, Jesus. I try to be so nice. Number three, think faithfulness right here, right now. It's the Joseph principle, doing the best you can with all you got wherever you are. That's the Joseph principle. You do the best you can wherever you are with all you got. Your destiny is embedded in your faithfulness. Your destiny is embedded in your faithfulness. You can, it's like a crowbar. It pries the perfect will of God from the hand of the enemy. He wants to keep it blurred in your mind and fuzzy. He wants to keep it where it's something you feel you never can attain to and you're never good enough to do it. No, God loves us. Come on now. He's not keeping it from us. He's keeping it for us. But what happens is if you break through and get something ahead of your character, you've got something ahead of your character. The anointing upon you is stronger than the anointing within you. You're headed for a shipwreck. The anointing within you has to stay equal or greater than the anointing upon you. If it's that way, you're safe in life. But once you get more anointed on you than you have in you, you end up like Samson. Praise the Lord. Can y'all say amen? Hallelujah. Luke 16, verses 10 to 12. You can look that up. Talks about the three areas of faithfulness. Faithfulness in money, faithfulness in that which is little, faithfulness in that which is another man's. Jesus said it like this: if you won't be faithful with something that belongs to somebody else, who is going to give you something that is your own? Kind of got my feelings hurt a little bit when I turned 60, and the Lord said to me, I'm going to give you something that's your own. And I said to him, why you wait till I'm 60? And he said to me, I couldn't trust you. You got 60 and I finally can trust you. So everybody's saying, can you trust God? Hey, I got a bigger question. Can he trust you? Huh? You know what I found out about the Lord? He'll speak to you if you learn to keep your mouth shut. God show you something about somebody else, man, you can't wait to tell it. Don't be surprised if he quits talking to you. He's not a blabbermouth, but he will show you about life and about things if you just learn to keep your mouth shut. Praise the Lord. Can you say amen? This is coming out really different than what I imagined when I was praying about it. Let me close with this one. Think the big picture. Stop and think about it. Abraham, Moses, Gideon, Esther. Every one of these people had to go through a process where they had to understand, wait a minute, what God's doing in me and what God is saying to me has much more to do than just me. There is a bigger picture of your life. Oh, I'm sure Esther was so happy when she got picked. You're so happy. Oh, Esther, he picked you. You're going to have the best makeup, the best perfume. You're going to have the prettiest shoes. You're going to have, look at the jewelry. I'm a peasant Jew. Look at me. I'm the queen. Yeah. And you're going to have to risk your life to save your people. Because it ain't about the jewelry or the pajamas. There's a bigger picture with what God wants to do with your life. Can you say amen? Amen. Now, good news about the will of God is this. I'll close with this. God, I almost hate to say this, but I do have to say it to give people hope. I almost hesitate to say this. God has your mess ups dialed in. He didn't plan your goof up. He didn't plan your mistake. He didn't want it to happen. But I'm telling you, he wasn't surprised by it either. Now that gives hope to me. That God, a perfect example is Jesus talking to Peter. I'll die for you. Let me tell you about this chicken you're going to hear from later tonight. I'm going to talk to you about this rooster. Peter, calm down. Because before he sounds off twice, you're going to deny me three times. I know the worst about you. And I can even predict what you're going to do. Now, take heart. When you return, strengthen the brethren. I believe you're going to come back, and I want you to know that your mess up will not disqualify me from using you again. You'll need to keep that feather in your cap because you're going to fall flat on your face tonight. Now, Jesus didn't plan it. Jesus didn't want it. Jesus didn't cause it, but he weren't surprised by it. He's got your goof up dialed in. Don't use that as an excuse, but understand that when you messed up and when you went to him and confessed your sin, it's not when he discovered about it. When you got up and confessed your sin is when you got cleansed from it. Can you say amen?
Yes.
Let's stand up. Praise the Lord. Blessed are the brief. Come on, y'all. Blessed are the brief, for they shall be invited back. Hallelujah. Listen, I'm going to do this real casually. I'm going to prophesy some things. Are you ready? This is the year of people having chronic things broken in their life. This is a year of people finally getting victory over things that they have struggled with for years and years and years. Let me tell you what the Holy Spirit is saying to me. The faithful are going to be rewarded this year. The people who have decided that they're not going to quit are going to get breakthroughs this year. This is a year, yes, it's a year of bizarre, but it is a year of breakthrough. Breakthrough, my brother. Breakthrough. Laura, breakthrough. Breakthrough. I'm talking about chronic, whatever. Chronic, whatever. Listen, Jesus, you know that angel that went before the children of Israel? You do know who that was. That was Christ before he got a body. That was Christ before he got... If you study the Bible, there are times when the Bible talks about the angel of the Lord, and it was Christ. When Joshua saw that guy on that horse, he said, "Are you for me or against me?" He said, "I'm captain of the host of the armies of God." The Bible said he was the angel. That was Christ. Can you say amen? So he told Moses, when you get on the other side of this Red Sea, turn around and look. Because the enemy you see today, you are going to see no more forever. Come on, y'all. I'm telling you, I believe in 2024, there's going to be things broken in your life that you ain't going to see again for the rest of your life. Some of you grab that right now and say, "That's me, that's me." Hallelujah. Hallelujah! It doesn't mean there's not going to be new problems. It means that problem is going to be broken and defeated. Come on. I want you tonight to get something inside of you that says, "I will to do His will. I will to know His will." Can I tell you something that I did recently? I was praying Colossians 1. Colossians 1 is such a powerful prayer. Stop and think about it. That you might be filled with the knowledge of His will, with all spiritual wisdom. I told you I was quitting. Can I share something with you real quick? Three words for wisdom in the Greek: Sophia, Sunesis, and Prunesis. Sophia is the knowledge of the eternal God. It's when you know the character of God. You know God in a face-to-face type of relationship. That's Sophia. That's wisdom. Sunesis is the ability by the Holy Spirit and the wisdom of God to see all the pieces of a problem and how they relate to each other. You get to see 360 degrees around a mountain that other people don't see. You see all the pieces that go to the puzzle. Prunesis is the wisdom to combine Sophia and Sunesis, where you say, "Aha, I know exactly what needs to be done." So I started praying, "Oh God, fill me with the knowledge of your..." You know what that morphed into? knowing what I should be praying for. Praying to be filled with the knowledge of His will morphed into knowing what I should be praying for. Guess what I started praying? Oh, Father, I thank You that this year in 2024, I will meet the people I'm supposed to meet. I start praying over the people that are in my destiny, not just the things that I'm supposed to do. Start praying over the people you're supposed to touch and watch what God will do. Start praying over the people that you're supposed to impart healing to and watch what God will do. Start praying over the people that God's going to use you. Come on, y'all. I was praying this way before Christmas. Oh, Lord, show me who I'm supposed to give something to. And the Lord dropped it in my heart. I want You to buy Derek a car. Oh, God, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. You know what I did? I went and spoke to my pastor. I went and talked to some church people. We got $9,000 together. We're going to buy Derek a car. I started praying over the people I'm supposed to bless. Praying over the people I'm supposed to meet. Praying over the people I'm supposed to... Come on, lift your hands. Lord, we pray over the... not just the things we're supposed to do, but the lives we're supposed to touch. In 2024, I thank You, Father, that my steps are ordered by the Lord, not just in the things, but to the people. In the name of Jesus. How many receive that and say, I'm going to walk in that in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Well, thank you for your love and prayers for us. Debbie and I, we go to some places. Listen, we went to Peru. We got to meet spiritual giants in Peru. These people raise people from the dead and they won't even talk about it. You sit down to eat breakfast with them, they won't even mention it. They're older people. They're humble. They walk through jungles and believe God to not get killed by jaguars while they confront demon-possessed witch doctors and get them saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. And I get to rub shoulders with them. God's doing some crazy things in Peru. We're building a church in Nauta. Nauta is the fountainhead where the Amazon splits three ways. And because it's that way, it's a sex trafficking mecca. Because they can steal young girls and put them on boats, and those boats go to those three different countries, and those girls are never seen from again. And we're going to build a church and a university there. And I'm going there to train leaders. Can you say amen? Amen. So pray for us. Listen. Dear Lord, I keep trying to stop. Look at me. Everybody just look at me. Look at me. Take hope. If you knew the bizarre way I was raised, the dysfunction and the pain that I went through as a child, and to be sitting here tonight so dadgum happy. God is opening nations to me with people who in those nations, they're changing their nations. And they're reaching out to me, and I'm getting invited to come and partner with them, and I'm not having to do anything to manipulate it or make it happen. God is doing it. He can get you anywhere you need to be with anybody you need to be doing. Come on. Lord, I pray for Island Church. Destiny is on this church. Destiny is on your pastor. Destiny is in these chairs. Future people, lives, community, nations. We thank You, Lord, that You can take an impossible life full of pain and heal it and move it and strengthen it and send it all around the world with Your blessing. Everybody say, God can do it. Amen. Turn to two people around you and say, God can do it. God can do it. Pastor, would you come?
Thank you for listening to Island Church's podcast. To find out more information about Island Church in Galveston, Texas, visit our website at islandchurchgalveston.com.
Hallelujah, Jesus.